Welcome back to Culture and Curves, where we unpack history, identity, and the rhythm that connect us all. I'm your host, Chisomo, and today we're going deeper and beyond borders, rediscovering who we are and where we're coming from. And on today's episode, I'm very delighted to welcome our new co-host, Mulenga.
Mulenga Chola. Woo! Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do this, honestly. This is something that I feel is important for us. And we're going to learn all together. We're going to learn as we move along. So thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell us who you are?
My name is Mulenga Chola. I am a journalist. I am a blogger. So I write about mental health and skincare. And I also create a little bit of content on social media as well, focusing on mental health and skincare, of course.
Okay, we're going to put your details in the description below. And welcome. It's amazing to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
That's good. Let's get this started.
Let's get into it.
Are you ready? Being African mean to you?
Being African to me means being proud of myself. Being African means being proud of where I come from. I hold a lot of pride, especially in my name. Like Mulenga means the creator or the creation. And that is almost like a typical Zambian name. I wouldn't say almost, it is a typical Zambian name. And I'm proud of the tribe that I also come from. You know, being a Bemba woman is something that I hold high regards to, because everywhere that I go, especially like, you know, we had this conversation in the UK, I may be British, but I'm still Zambian. Do you know what I mean? And when I'm around amongst other Africans, people would ask, what type of African are you? I'm just like, I'm Zambian. So that's something that I'm really proud of. That's what makes me African. How about you?
My name is Chisomo, which means grace. So I'm actually proud of that name. I've said before that Chisomo means grace, and it was given to me by my grandma. So it is important for me to embrace that name. But also, being African to me means being united with other people.
Yeah.
I didn't really know I was African until I came to the UK. I mean, I came to the UK when I was in my late teens.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I thought I was
How
just,
old were you?
I was 17.
Okay.
And when I came to the UK, I thought I was just moving from a country to another country.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I realized, I was stepping into a new version of myself.
A whole new world.
A whole new world.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Because I didn't really feel like I was an African until people start asking me, where do you come from? What language do you speak?
Where are you from?
I'm from. At first, I used to say I'm from South Africa, but then as you grow, you're thinking like, that's not where I'm actually coming from.
Why did you tell people you're from South Africa when you're not from South Africa?
I think I was a bit embarrassed of being Zimbabwean.
Why?
I was, because there wasn't really anything fun about coming from Zimbabwe. There was stories about South Africa and all South Africa is cool and stuff. But then a few years later, I realized that's not actually who I am.
Yeah.
I'm a Zimbabwean, you know, even though I was born in South Africa, but I'm actually from Zimbabwe. My mom is from Zimbabwe. My dad is from Malawi, but I grew up in Zim.
Yeah.
So embracing that Zim in me actually made me proud that I'm actually from Africa. Even though like there wasn't really a lot of African people around me, especially like where I live.
Yeah.
We would see like maybe one black person once a month. And
yeah.
We'd be like so proud that we've seen another black person. But then we'd talk to that person and I realized that this person is actually, even though they're not from Zim, they're actually from Africa. We can connect. We've got the shared experiences. So I think being able to unite with other people, talking my language, being part of the community, of the Zimbabwean community,
yeah,
made me realize that I'm actually...
Are you fluent in your language though?
I am, yeah. I think I'm better in my language than I am in English.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, what's your language again?
Ndebele.
So is Ndebele your first language, or is English your...
Ndebele is my first language, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it is important as well for us to be able to speak our tribal languages, because when we come to the UK, like I have a cousin that came years before me and she only spoke Bemba. Like that's my tribe. That's this language that we speak. But I got to a point where over time she spoke more English and stuff like that. And that happens a lot. We see it a lot in African homes. It's like when African parents or just ethnic parents come to the UK, they kind of want their children to be engrossed in the culture, but the culture is what makes us who we are as people. Yeah. You have to be proud of who you are as a person. I understand, obviously, like when you get here, you want to integrate into society, but especially in the household, I am very against. Like if you come from a tribal background, try and speak your language as much as you can at home. Because like my brother does not speak Bemba, but he understands it. So I have to kind of speak that with him so he can embrace it or know more. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same as my brother. At first, he didn't really like to speak our language. When I speak to him in Ndebele, he would reply in English. Or when he's with his friends, he won't even answer the phone call.
Aish, yo,
because
guys.
He knew that I'll say something in Ndebele.
Yeah.
But I think being part of the community also, it kind of helps, especially people that talk your language, speak your language. It helps mm-hmm. you understand where you actually come from, because I think it's important to know where we actually come from. That's where we can understand who we are. Because if we don't know where we come from, we don't really know ourselves.
Oh, you know you ate there. When it comes to Black History Month, yeah. we have the knowledge that it was begun or created by a man called Carter Goodson, to my knowledge. And this was introduced in 1926, and he called it the Negro History Week.
Yeah.
And a week is not enough, of course, as we know. Black History Month in USA and Canada is in February, whereas Black History Month in the UK is in October. Yeah. But I came to the UK in 2010. So I've been here for about 15 years. Is that 15 years? I hope it's 15 years. I'm not good with numbers. Sorry, my bad. The thing is, when it comes to that, we never had lessons on Black History Month. And in the school that I went to, there was a time when I was the only Black girl in the whole school, not just my school year, in the whole school. And growing up, obviously we had other people come in, but by the time I finished secondary in 2014, there were only about four Black people, two Black girls, including me, and two Black boys. And with that, in all the history lessons that we had, we never had one Black history lesson. So I don't know what it was like for you coming to school here.
So personally, I didn't go to school here. I just went straight to college because I came here when I was
17.
So I was a bit older. But what I know is that, like you said, it was Carter Woodson, who is the architect of the Black History Month. So he wanted a time where Black excellence, Black people were celebrated for their achievements. And in America, it's done in February, and here it's in October to align with the academic year because it starts in September.
Yeah.
But personally, it's all from my own research and my own understanding. Here in the UK, it's celebrated in that time in October because we need to celebrate the Black people that are actually changing the world.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when I first heard about it, we're celebrating people like Jay-Z, you know, these big
celebrities, basically.
Yeah, we're kind of worshipping them. But then at the same time, there are also Black people that are actually doing a lot for that need us to celebrate them.
Yeah.
But then from my perspective, I think like we're not really celebrating the Black excellence as much as we should do, especially like we don't learn about it. We don't know about it. Even if I ask my brothers about Black History Month, what's going on in Black History Month? They don't know anything.
They don't know anything
then,
that's going in the UK.
In the UK,
but America, though, we know.
Yeah, we know a lot about it. Like in Africa, where when I grew up in Africa, there was nothing like Black History Month. But then here is a big thing. I think it's like a diaspora thing because we all come from shared experiences like colonization and all that stuff. So when we're here in the diaspora, we lonely. We need something to do. We need to celebrate our own people. In Africa, there's loads of Black people.
And honestly, I think it's a beauty. There's also beauty in that because we get to learn from other countries and other cultures. And we learn these through art, music, and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's a very crucial thing for us. We have to recognize our differences make us one as well.
As well, yeah.
Being in the UK, I do have like, you know, I have unfortunately not as many Black friends as I would like to have. Yeah. And me growing up in the area that I grew up in, I only had like white friends growing up. But when I went to college is when I started having like Somali friends and friends from South Africa, friends from Zim. My friends were actually from church. When it comes to me going to church, most of my friends were from South Africa, Zimbabwe. And I only got lucky because this is when we'd have like, you know, youth days and would have people from different places. But me learning their difference, me learning where they're from and our differences makes me even more proud to be African. Okay, makes me even more proud to have such friends, because there's nothing more beautiful than speaking about what we're proud of. Like for me being Zambian, I recently went to Zambia in 2 months ago. Okay. And I was there for 3 weeks. And the first week was hard because load shedding, electricity is going.
I know about load shedding.
Electricity is going after like, you'd only have just like 5 hours a day.
Yeah. What are you going to do with five hours?
What are you going to do with 5 hours? But outside of that, you also told me about load shedding. Like, oh, we also have it in Zim. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you lot had it as well.
Yeah, South Africa, they've got it everywhere.
Do you know what I mean? And also finding out that the other beliefs that our friends are into.
Into, yeah.
This is what makes us African. This is what makes us who we are. We have to be proud of where we come from.
Because we're connected at the same time. We might not see it, but when we look deeper into it, you realize that we all come from the same place, especially
Mama Africa,
especially like the Southern African. Most of us, like, we come from the Ngunis, which is like a big thing. That's like a topic for another day.
Yeah.
Nguni, you know, like the Bantu people, which is like a big thing. So I think meeting other Black people is very important, especially like not only from Zim. My friends, most of my friends, like Black friends, most of them are from Zim, because I don't really go out there to meet people. But then if I go out there to meet people, then I'll be able to connect with other cultures, other people from different countries. But then because I know there's a lot of people like me that don't really enjoy being around other people.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think it's very important to be more open to other people's beliefs and stuff. So I think it's very interesting that we learn about Black history and also about who we are, because if we don't know who we are, and then we're just like a tree with no roots.
Exactly. If you don't know yourself, people will tell you about you.
Yeah.
And you know, the country that I admire the most, Nigeria.
Yeah.
And if they see this, they're going to be like, yeah. But the unity that Nigerians have, it's actually unreal. Like, they're very proud of who they are.
Yeah.
They're proud of where they come from. They're just proud of like their tribes and I can't remember the names, but every single time they'll be like, oh no, I'm from this tribe. And they always just have that unity that some of us Southern Africans do not have. Maybe, I feel maybe it could be because of population, because there's more Nigerians in the UK. Like, I don't have any Black friends, to be honest, here. And if you guys are there, let's be friends, please. But when it comes to that, I think it's important that we learn from them as well.
Yeah,
you know, we embrace it. They embrace who they are. Like when it comes to, did you see Nigerian Independence Day? They were showing out.
Yeah.
Okay. Zambian Independence Day is in 3 days. Do I have plans?
No.
No.
You're just going to be home.
Yeah. I'm going to be in bed, chilling. But when it comes to that, they have that unity that some of us don't have. Yeah. This is what we need to learn from other cultures. This is how we grow as people. And also, it also makes us proud to be not just African, but being British as well.
Yeah.
Because we are also important to the country. We are part of society. This is also our home.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is something that we should really, really care for. And like I said, embrace.
Yeah. You know, about a month ago, I went to an event called King Mzilikazi, which is like a Ndebele pride thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like celebrating King Mzilikazi, who's like the king of the Ndebele.
Is he alive?
No, he died. He died years ago. But then it's beautiful that my people are celebrating his day. because it brings us all together. It brings the people of the Ndebele people or the Kumalos together to celebrate him and also to meet other people. But the issue that I had was it was mainly old people, not old people, but like, you know.
Those old men, just say that. They were old.
Elders and stuff. There was less youth than I would have liked to see because... If we, like, as youth, like Ndebele people, we go to this event, we can also learn about King Mzilikazi. We can learn about where we come from. We can learn about who we are. I know my story, but I feel like I don't really know much. I don't really know as much as I would like. But then when I went to that event, I seen so many people. I didn't know there were so many Ndebele people in the UK.
Really?
But there were a lot. There were a lot of people.
Seriously?
Yeah, big numbers. Ah. But I was really proud that my people are actually doing this thing in the diaspora, because if we don't do these things, we don't really know other people. We don't really get to meet other people, even though like some of them are from different cities in Zimbabwe, but we're still all one people. We still like need to be united.
Yeah.
So I think that was beautiful. I think we should do more often.
And the thing is, do you know what it is? The fact that you went to this event and just the older people there, 30, Nkonkonko, I said it before, is around the corner for the both of us. And we are going to be the older people. We have to be part of these events, because if they're just done by the older people, if they stop...
Yeah, then it's going to die with them.
It's going to die with them. This is why I emphasize on learning your language, learning your culture, because it cannot just die with our parents.
We have to carry on.
Yeah. We are the future of Africa.
Even though we are here in the UK, we are living the UK life, we respect the laws and stuff. At the same time, it doesn't mean we need to forget who we are.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can live this double identity thing.
Yeah, Hannah Montana style.
But then at the same time, it is important to know our actual roots.
Yes, because it's like, you know, I enjoy a Greg... chicken bake, you know, Greg's chicken bake. You know, I love that. But at the end of the day, which means when I go home, I'm going to eat in shima. You guys call it sadza.
Yeah, I'm
going to
eat sadza.
Do you know what I mean?
I can eat that thing every day.
True African man right there. But at the end of the day, even the foods that we eat make us who we are.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Because I can't eat pizza every day.
No.
I can't eat, I love a fish and chips, don't get me wrong. Some gravy, some curry, I'm there. But when I get home, shima.
You know, when I came to the UK and my mom was cooking salsa, I was like, I'm not eating that. I grew up eating this thing every day. And then I come to the UK, you want me to eat that thing again? No. I was like, no, I want some nice food. I want some, you know, proper food. And then one time she made, is it Sunday roast?
Yeah. Oh,
I'll be real. I do not like Sunday roast.
Sorry, before we get Sunday roast.
Great. I don't like Sunday roast, but then...
What?
I don't like Sunday roast.
Fake British person right there. Fake.
So,
what do you mean?
I don't like Sunday roast, but then I was like, you know what? I miss sadza. I miss who I am.
Food.
Yeah, I miss some proper sadza. Sadza nenyama, sadza, you know, sadza and beef.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I can eat it every single day. But it is what it is, man.
It makes us who we are. Yeah. Because I think even when we have our friends come and visit us and all that kind of stuff, we should, like, one thing my brother did. So, obviously, we live in Stockport. Yeah. There were not a lot of black people. All his friends were white. All my friends were white and all that kind of stuff. But he got his friends, like, I'm wearing a Zambian football t-shirt right now. He got his friends to do that. He got his friends to even eat in shima with us. This is... blue-eyed, blonde, British boy eating in shima in our house, he was happy. That's how we should. This is how we learn about other people. You have to bring people in. Don't be embarrassed by where you come from.
You come from, 100%.
Because where you come from is what makes you as a person. You pretending to be someone else, that's not authentic. You can't grow from that because at the end of it, you will get bored and you'll get tired. And putting up a facade is exhausting because then it's like lying. You have to remember your lie.
You lie, yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about that.
Yeah. So, I've got a question for you, yeah?
Okay. Should I be nervous? Nervous.
If Africa is so rich, then why are we so poor?
That's a thinker. You first. then I'll come back to you.
So I think it's down to, obviously, colonization has also got a big role to play in it.
Mm.
And then at the same time, I think our leaders, they're also playing a part in this. It comes down to greed and looting, because most of our leaders, they are looting all these things. And also, when it, the West is also fueling some conflicts in Africa, for example, in Nigeria and DRC, Congo, there's all these wars that are happening all because of the minerals we've got. Because Africa, we've got 30% of the natural resources. That is a lot. But then our countries are so poor. Our people are so poor. I grew up like in the rural areas. Mm. I mean, no electricity, just fire, candles and all that stuff.
Are you sure, guys?
I'm telling you.
I'm not laughing at you. This is...
You go, you're eating food in the dark. You don't even know what you're eating.
That, to be fair, when I went, I had to experience that because load shedding, what can you do?
But then if our leaders, they were actually smart and thinking for our people, we would not be in this situation where we're even asking the question, if Africa is so poor, why, if it's so rich, why are we so poor?
Mm-hmm.
But then if our leaders are actually putting in the work and supporting local businesses and supporting these mines and owning, because most of these mines in Africa, they're not even African, like they're not even owned by African companies.
No,
most of them
not.
Is American, French, British, Russian. And Canadians. Why do we have these companies in Africa?
Because I feel like, especially the presidents that we have and the people that are in government, they only care about themselves and their family. They think they're immortal. They think they're going to live forever. You're not a vampire, bro. Like, you're going to die. Everybody's going to die. That money is not going to go with you.
These Even minerals if, will stay behind.
But everything is staying behind. Okay, and you have to learn to care about your nation. You have to learn. People should not be sitting in the dark.
No.
People should not be rushing to get home to charge their phone. The worst thing, when load shedding thing, the thing is, for me, it was like, I was told, okay, you're going to have about 5 hours of electricity. In those 5 hours, you're rushing. I have to charge my phone. I have to charge my power bank. I have to charge everything that I need. My pet, you know, we have to cook and all that kind of stuff. That's not a way of life.
Yeah, but if our government were actually caring for people, we would not be having those issues.
We wouldn't. We would not be in that situation. Like, I would be on Netflix 24/7.
But
probably
won't even be here. You'd still be in Africa. But then we come here for opportunities for green pastures.
Yeah.
Because we don't have them in Africa. They are there, but then there's no means to extract those like ideas that we can use as African people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like when I was saying, you know, this war that's happening in Congo, apparently there's over 23 rebel groups in one country.
23?
Over 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Fighting for minerals. But then who's funding those armies? Who's funding those people? It's the worst. It's America, because there's money in war.
America.
Unfortunately.
Donald Trump.
I need to get into this war thing. Maybe I can make money.
But there's a lot of, you should not be that greedy when it comes to, but the thing is also, they have no choice, because if I'm living in, like, let's say I'm living in poverty, my family is poor, I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm grinding 24/7. Like, I'm working for 12 hours and I'm only earning about £3 an hour. But the big boys are telling me that they're going to pay me, let's say, like £100 an hour in Zambia, in Africa, while I'm there. I'm taking it.
100%.
I'm taking
me,
it.
If I'm to become a president in Zim, I'm looting the whole country.
I'm taking it.
I'm sorry, everyone is going hungry about my family.
You see? Because the thing is, it's like...
But that's the wrong mentality, though. We should care about the people in the whole country, not just ourselves.
Yeah. But the thing is, and the beautiful thing also, because you know how you say, we come here for better opportunities, right? If we start growing as a nation, we are more inclined to go back home. And most people have started going back home.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah,
most people around
our
age have started going back home because they want to make things better. But it's hard.
It's hard.
It's so hard to fall in love with such hypocrisy, and it just leaves you in a very unhappy state. That's why here, even though like the tax here is horrendous.
It's crazy. Tax man doesn't play.
He's gonna come at your door. He's coming for you. But it's still somehow a better life than back home.
Back home, yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, I don't want to just have electricity for 5 hours. I don't want to have the thing where I cannot buy things in bulk because they're going to melt. You can't stay that way. This is why. And when I found out that people are sending electricity to other countries, why? Your people are waking up. Because this is very silly of me, because I guess this just shows my privilege. When I was back home, I'd see people, because we'd be traveling very early. Because I remember I was traveling from Lusaka to Northern Province. And that was a 19-hour drive. 19 hours on the road, all because the roads are so bad. But then we'd had to leave at like 4-ish. At 5 a.m., you see so many people awake, walking up and down. Yeah. And I'm just like, mom, like, what's going on? Like, why are people, they're like, they have to make money. They have to just find a way to live. Like, you'd see people just at 5, just sat outside hoping that something will happen. You can't live that way.
No.
This is how you end up robbing places. This is how you end up robbing people. Because
poverty will drive you crazy. Poverty will make you do some crazy shit.
Poverty kills. It's literally mentally exhausting. You cannot live a good life in that way. That's why people leave the country.
Yeah, that's
why
we're here.
Can you blame them?
That's why we're here.
Hello.
You know, like you said, people like... You were driving for 19 hours, right?
Mm.
Like I said before, that I grew up in the rural areas. So if we were to go to like a nearby town, which is called Plumtree, it was probably like less than 100 kilometers away. But you have to wake up at like 6 a.m. in the morning and you have to wait for the bus. If you miss that bus,
that's it.
You have to wait until the next day.
Next day?
Next day.
I thought you were going to say a couple of hours.
No. You have to...
You can't do anything.
But the thing, you don't have an alarm, so you have to kind of find a ways to wake up early.
The chickens, yeah.
They're
going to wake you up.
Yeah, or just don't go to sleep.
But that's the thing, like even transportation, oh my God, even transportation. Because the fact that we had to be on the road, there's no trains. Do you guys have trains in Zimbabwe?
No.
That was a quick no.
We do, but they're not really operational.
You know what I mean? The thing is, if you have a job opportunity, like if I have a job opportunity right now in London, I can hop on the train and going to London is expensive. Like off topic, going to London is, they're thieving us. You know, why did my dad have to pay £95 from Manchester to London? Because the last minute, I might as well go to Spain. Back on conversation. Yeah, we need better resources.
We do have the resources, but we need better management. We need better people to... manage these companies, because we've got so much in Africa. We've got a lot of things.
We have gold.
Everything.
Diamonds, copper,
but
uranium. And here we are in poverty.
But then, you know, there's like, it's not funny, but you know, when
it's not funny, ha ha.
But sometimes.
It's funny weird.
I see a lot of very poor people going to these big churches that are owned by these millionaire pastors and preachers.
Now we're talking.
And those preachers are taking advantages of the poor people. Those people, they have to pay a certain amount of money each month,
like,
or whatever.
Tithes
and stuff. Like, why are you...
Oh, there's nothing wrong with paying tithes. Yeah. The Bible does say you should pay tithes. But the pastor... Why is it rolling up in a Bentley and you're taking the bus?
And they go into the stadium saying, oh, we're going to do some miracles. Why not doing miracles on your way to the stadium?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what kind of miracles are you doing?
Why does it have to be at the stadium? Why can't you just do the miracle? Come at the local church. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to do that.
And those systems are keeping people poor because we don't think outside the box. We're thinking... Or if I give so much to the church, I'm going to get this in return, or I'm going to I'm going to be rich and stuff, because these pastors are lying to our people.
And the whole push, Lord is going to provide.
It's provide.
He's stealing from you.
But he's stealing from you because you're giving him your last dollar, your last penny.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to eat the next day. You're just waiting for the man of God to tell you again, oh, things are going to be okay. The Lord is going to provide. When is he going to provide?
Parts.
But also, I think when we as Africa, when we rely on just these mineral resources, we also not really gaining anything, because there's also agriculture industries.
But yes.
It's so big, but then there is not enough money in it.
No, there actually isn't. It's like, it's like, I was talking about, you know, before we did the podcast, I was telling you about the agricultural show that we have in Zambia. Yeah. It happens every August. It's just showing the beauty of things, all that kind of stuff. But then after that day is done, hardly anything is done after that.
Yeah, people are just going back to their villages. There's nothing after that.
There's nothing after that. And it's like, this is, it should be kind of like a sponsor event, I guess. Like, you know how in the UK, like, as a content creators go to these events and all that kind of stuff. They're kind of showing off these things that they do and that kind of stuff that they do. They end up getting brand deals. They should do that in these African countries.
Yeah, and here in the UK, you've got the Clarkson Farm Show. I think someone in Africa, they need to do a show where they're visiting these farmlands and stuff, because there's a lot of farms in Africa.
Yeah,
but they don't get exposure. They don't.
Farmers are rich, man. I'm trying to be like you, yeah,
but most of them are like they're not Africans. Most of the farmers are not Africans. They're like, you know, Europeans and stuff, because they know that that's where the money is, and then they employ the local villages and pay them pennies just to work in the farms and stuff. But then I think if I'm not saying these farms should be owned by black people and stuff, but then I think if the investment is there for these countries to diversify rather than depending on just mineral resources, also depend on so many things in Africa, because I think there's a lot of things that can benefit Africa.
Yeah.
But we're just so focusing on like, oh, we've got minerals, we've got oil, we've got this. What else? We've got other things as well.
Because they don't distribute it to the local people.
The local, yeah.
They distribute it to, I was going to say Donald Trump. They distribute it to everybody outside.
Outside, yeah.
But it's hard, because if you're a farmer and somebody is willing to pay more, like, these are your crops, like you've spent a whole year growing potatoes, growing tomatoes and all that kind of stuff, and somebody is willing to give you £100 for it, whereas your local people are only willing to give you a small amount, I feel like you'd also have to have a good heart as well. You'd have to be very selfless.
Yeah.
It's hard. In the long run, it does work out, because then if one person is buying from you, more people are buying from you, know, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to like currency differences, if somebody's paying you with Kuwaiti, because as far as I think Kuwait is the highest right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Kuwaiti money or currency, you're going to take it.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
If I come and pay you in Kwacha right now.
No, I'm not taking that. Keep it.
Hello? You see? So it's like charity. People say charity begins at home. We have to have these conversations in our houses, in our communities. Have a farmer's market and all that. I don't think we have those back home, do we? Have
you ever been to one? We do, but they're not really that special.
I guess that would be like the agricultural show, yeah. Isn't it? But
at the same time, you know, when it comes to Africa, I do have a little bit of hope. Because if we look at countries like Ethiopia, they've just built the largest dam in Africa worth about $5 billion. I mean, that's a lot. And what I like as well is all that money is all from the Ethiopian people. It's not external like China, America, or Europe. It's the people of Ethiopia that came together and they managed to raise $5 billion to build this large hydropower dam that's going to supply the country with electricity and also the neighboring countries. And hopefully people are not going to have load shedding, like only have electricity for 5 hours. So it is, it's a beautiful thing to see countries like Ethiopia doing those things.
Yeah.
I'm also hopeful, maybe.
Do you think Zimbabwe would ever be able to
No. No, not anytime soon. I'm when it comes to Zim, I don't have hope.
Aye, man, you have to have the hope, man.
I don't think I've got hope in my country, but I'm low key. I'm hopeful that most of the African countries can learn from Ethiopia,
balling,
that
man.
They can depend on themselves than borrowing money from China or USA or relying on USAID.
The fact that they're able to do it themselves, just as a, like in a community, as a country, to say we're going to raise this money and we're going to do this for us. That is, there's a lot of beauty in that. Even when I traveled 3 months ago, obviously flying with Ethiopian Airways, you have a layover of 4 hours, and I was at the airport and stuff. Not a fan of the airport, not gonna lie. But once I looked outside, I think they'll celebrate their new year because they're now in 2018,
yeah.
When I looked, it looked so beautiful. They're doing everything that needs to be done. They're rebuilding the airport, they're rebuilding all this kind of stuff. But once I got to Lusaka, why is the exit sign in English and Chinese? And I asked my brother that. He was like, yeah, because the Chinese are paying for it. And thing is, there's nothing wrong with getting help from other countries.
Yeah.
Because if somebody has it and they can help you, that's fine. But if you let other people take over you, you lose everything and you lose yourself. You lose community, you lose everybody, and you lose the trust of your people. Having your people's trust is one of the most important things. People should be proud to say, yeah, this is the president that we have. Because in Zambia, the president, Hakainde Hichilema, yo guys, that's a conversation for another day. But with these types of things, we need to do better.
Yeah, we're letting the Chinese own everything, basically.
And it shouldn't be that way. And thing is, they have great things, though, I'm not going to lie. They have beautiful things, and they're very helpful.
Really. Well, then, because they're benefiting. We're not benefiting
That's the sad part, because we can benefit from them. Everything that, the things that they're doing is beneficial. But the thing that the Chinese have, compared to Africans, they have unity.
Yeah.
We don't have that. There's a lot of greed, even in our people, within our people.
We don't like each other.
We hate each other. We absolutely cannot stand each other.
And to just say like some other good things that I see happening in Africa, if we look at Kigali in Rwanda, the capital city of Rwanda, that city is beautiful.
Mm.
I mean, Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda, he's done an amazing job. Obviously, he's got some controversy going on that he's funding he's funding the M23 rebel group. But if you look at the pictures of Kigali in Rwanda, it's amazing. It's clean. They're saying it's the new Singapore of Africa.
Mm.
It's that beautiful.
Because I know I'm going
like
next.
Why can't the rest of the African countries do the same thing? I mean, we've got other things that are going on, like tech, music and stuff, but then we need to have places where we can be proud of.
Yeah,
we need to have cities in Africa that we can be proud of. Like now, I'm claiming Kigali is my city.
I will too. Me next.
Yeah,
me
I'm
next.
Going to Kigali, but we should have beautiful places in Africa that people can go there and be proud of where they actually come from.
Yeah, and also don't overcharge people as well.
Oh, yeah.
They love doing that back home. It's like when I went to this national park with my cousin and they were like, this is how much it is for locals.
Yeah.
And then this is how much it is for international people. I stopped speaking English immediately. I'm not going to pay 1,000 kwacha just because I'm British. Are you mad?
Now, how much is 1,000 kwacha in British?
Guys, I'm not good with numbers. I cannot answer that one. As soon as I got there, which means I don't speak English. I only speak Bemba. And thing is, when I switch to English, she'd clock that I'm not from. So I'm just, she was like, I was like, oh, no. I'd try hard not to speak it because it's like, it should not be that way. At the end of the day, I'm still Zambian.
You need to teach me Bemba.
I got you. Don't worry. You need to teach me your language as well because I don't know anything. But as soon as I got there, I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is how much it is from internationals. I don't even have a passport. I don't know what you're talking about. I've been Zambian from the beginning.
Yeah.
That red passport, I don't even know what color it is anymore. My passport is green. Why are you charging your local, like, why are you overcharging? I guess charging other people, but it's just kind of like these places. It was I only saw like maybe about 10 animals. It's not even a lot, but these places are so expensive. Even for the locals, these are the type of places that you want to go with your kids. You wanna teach them like, oh, you know, these are the animals that we have here, and these are the waterfalls that we have over here. Like the Victoria Falls. The best view is from Zambia, by the way. The best view of the Victoria Falls is Zambia.
Okay, listen, this. I'm going to say something. Yeah.
Go on.
You know, in 2025, what's the best country, the number one country to visit in 2025?
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
It's Zimbabwe, not Zambia.
Okay.
Zim.
My question, what has the best view of the Victoria Falls?
Obviously, Zim.
I guess we'll let the viewers decide.
I want to talk about the cultural impact of Afrobeats and Amapiano.
Yep, I'm here for it.
Okay, what do you think about the Afrobeats and Amapiano, especially in the diaspora?
Personally, let me even close my iPad for this one, guys. I grew up listening to a lot of like South African gospel music, also Zambian as well, because I grew up Seventh Day Adventist.
Yeah.
So when it came to like the music and stuff, I've actually been impacted by Southern African music. As I've grown older, I've fallen in love with Amapiano, and also Amapiano is going globally now. It's not just in Africa. Yeah. It's been intertwined in different cultures, especially like when you go on TikTok. I saw this caption. The two girls were dancing and they're like, when you're Chinese, but you love Amapiano, and they've got better moves than me. I was like, teach me your ways. Cause why do you have footwork like that? I don't have that. I think there's beauty in that, because then if somebody hears like, oh, where's that from? Like, oh, that I like that beat. They'll be like, oh, it's from South Africa. Then they get to know more about South Africa.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, oh, what does South Africa have? Oh, they have these great cities. They have this food, this beaches and all that kind of stuff. We learn through music. Afrobeats as well. I'm not going to lie. I only started getting to Afrobeats maybe like a year ago.
No, me, I think I'm opposite you. Obviously, I'm from the southern part of Africa, but sometimes I actually prefer Afrobeats and Amapiano. For real. I listen to Amapiano when I'm with other people. But sometimes when I'm home, taking a shower or driving, I'll just put some Afrobeats.
Nah, I'm getting my whistle out immediately. Immediately.
No, for real. But then
why?
Because I grew up in Zim, like in the Ndebele area.
Mm.
There's some music that I listen to that I would not make people listen to.
But like, it makes you who you are.
It makes me who I am. It's like the Roomba or whatever. But the annoying thing is the songs about 50.
So you just reminded me, because we have something in Zambia called Kalindula.
Yeah, probably similar.
It's like, it does sound kind of like Roomba-ish. It's very, I was going to say very ethnic. It's very ethnic. But people love it. People love it. And I'm sure you love your music as well. Oh yeah,
like any day I could just, even sometimes when I'm home, I would just play it, and my brother or my mom, they'll be like, man, this. But then when I'm playing those music, I start to miss where I come from. But then to go back to the cultural impact of Afrobeats, I remember a few years ago, Afrobeats wasn't so popular. I remember when that song, was it Azonto?
I was about to say that.
Azonto.
Yeah.
I think it laid the foundation here in the UK for Afrobeats.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people didn't really know
and
about Afrobeats.
And that song, Antenna, as well.
Yeah, Antenna. But those songs, I think they pioneered the whole Afrobeats in the UK, because we were not really listening to Afrobeats that much. But then later on, I think in the early 2020s, that's when Afrobeats, artists like Burna Boy, Wizkid, they were just everywhere, like on the radios and stuff. They were just everywhere. But in 2015, when Azonto came, it was just like a dance.
Yeah,
dance
so just song, like a dance routine.
Dance routine. But then as time went on, it actually put Africa on the map.
100%. There's so many Afrobeats events as well.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, there's an event that I went to where they're playing both Afrobeats and Amapiano.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Afrobeats was played more, but that's just how I feel about that one. But still with that, there's the fact that though actually not only African, I saw a lot of white British people there. Yeah. And it was very interesting to see because that means they're also integrating with us.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They learn about our culture. That's how it should be. That's also what makes Britain.
Yeah, because before it was mainly, before Afrobeats was mainly the Caribbean music.
Yeah.
It was everywhere. It's beautiful that these musics are also changing how we see Africa, because a lot of people that are here in the diaspora, they're starting to connect with Africa. It's like a bridge. I think music, Afrobeats and Amapiano is like a bridge between the diaspora and back home, because we're able to connect with the people back home. We're able to connect with where we come from. So
of
I think it is very important that these music are actually putting our countries on the map.
You know, and I think the beauty of it also is these songs are in different languages.
Yeah.
So they're not in English.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what I'm singing half of the time, but I'm going to Google it. I'm going to go. You listen.
Start
you
singing see, some Nigerian, hey, some Yoruba stuff.
You hear me singing it word for word, bar for bar. Have I even stepped foot in Nigeria? Not yet. I'll be there. But that's how you learn. That's how you learn these little slang words that we have and all that kind of stuff. Most of it comes from West African culture, if we're going to keep
it be this?
Hello, wait and be that.
Yeah.
You see, that's from Nigeria. We're not going to get that here because in England, what is this? It's not hitting the same.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like when I'm shocked, be like, wow. But as a Southern African, I'll be like, yo.
Yeah.
It hits different.
But now when we listen to this music, got this Amapiano. Hey, when I'm on.
Hey, your eye is getting me lit.
So it's beautiful that a lot of, even people that are not from the Southern Africa, you can hear them, hey, what a man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nice that we are connecting as
everywhere.
Yeah, we're connecting as a culture, as one. We're trying to unite with different cultures, different identity from Africa. So I think music is actually playing.
I love being African, do you?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Lit. We're going to eat when you get home.
Sadza.
There you go. True African right there.
Sadza.
Because I'm eating this. He calls it sadza, but I call it Nshima.
Nshima.
It's the same thing. It's beautiful because the music, the fashion. I saw when I was in, I saw on the BBC, I think it was BBC Africa, most graduates in USA were actually getting most of their prom dresses from Nigeria.
For real?
I don't want to say the wrong percentage, but majority of people that were having their prom in USA were getting their clothes from Nigeria and Ghana because of the designers that we have. Have you ever seen Nigerian fashion? It eats.
Even Zimbabwe people are wearing Nigerian clothes now.
You see?
Going to weddings and all this.
What other country has beautiful clothes?
Ghana. They've got beautiful colors.
The languages as well, like I was talking about. I mean, the most spoken language in Africa is Arabic Swahili.
Wow.
I don't know anything in Swahili, though.
I don't know anything in Arabic other than, is it Salam Alaikum?
Salam Alaikum.
That's the only thing
salam.
I know.
I know a few things. I'm not going to start here and chat because when my Yemeni friend sees this, she's going to be like, Mo, why are you lying for? You
know? The only language I speak is Ndebele.
But the fact that you speak it, when it comes to Africans here, as a community, what is your honest perspective on it?
Honestly?
Keep it 100.
100.
Don't lie. God is watching.
I think it's just crap, really. We don't like each other. We don't.
Hey,
yeah.
Really?
Honestly. I think we pretend around English people.
I think
we pretend to be united around other people.
That's like that shocked me so much.
Around non-Africans. But when it's just us, we just straight up don't like each other.
What makes you say that though? That's a very interesting take.
I've seen it in a lot. Like people speak behind each other's back and people speaking bad about other countries, people from other countries and stuff. And there's just no unity when it just comes to us alone.
Yeah.
But when we, let's say we're at work or we're so cool, we like can be best friends or whatever. But as soon as we leave work, as soon as we leave the public where there's other cultures, we just not cool at all. We just pretend. So I feel like we just not.
I don't have that, you know.
For real.
Like for me, with the types of friends that I have, if like when I'm with my friends from other countries, I almost make it that I learn about their culture because I feel like it also brings us closer. Like if you're Nigerian, I'm Nigerian for the day. If you're South African, I'm South African for the day. You know, if you're Egyptian, I'm Egyptian. Today, I'm Egyptian. Yeah, Habibti, I'm Egyptian today. So it's just kind of like they, I don't know if I'd say jealousy and envy of others is kind of what brings us down.
Yeah, I think African. It's the life in the diaspora as well. A lot of people are going through a lot. A lot of people are stressed. They've got their own problems to focus on.
But also, they want to kind of like get rid of the Africanness.
Yeah, like, I don't need this.
I don't, you know. I was going to say something. Sorry, I'm going to keep it to myself.
So I think the life we live here, we're just so busy that we don't even want our own people to kind of disturb us. We just want to focus on what we want to focus on.
But it's hard also. I think the reason that is we also want to fit in. Yeah. They want to fit in. Like people would say, oh, like, you know, oh, they're freshy and all that kind of stuff. If you keep hearing that over and over again, you're going to not be proud of where you are because people are making fun of you. People are making fun of your accent. But it's just kind of like when somebody, especially when somebody has an accent, oh my God, they're like so rude about it. But it's just like, they're speaking English. You can understand what they're saying. But just because they have an accent, it's just kind of like, la, 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 la. What's wrong with you? They'll be like, oh no, like, oh, blah, blah. I'm just kind of like, those are the best people to be friends with. Oh my God, because 9 times out of 10, if somebody is a freshie, they're going to go back home more often. I'm sorry, I'm greedy. I'm going to ask for a treat. Bring me a like a Fanta back home.
Yeah.
Fanta it's back different. Home. There's different. No sugar tax. Listen, the Sprite, I almost died. Yeah, guys, the Sprite I had, it was so carbonated. I drank it. I was like, because we don't have that here.
No.
You know, it's so, there's so much beauty in being friends with just everybody. Like I'm very big on, like I don't only have African friends. I have a lot of Arabs, Arab friends. I have a lot of Asian friends and all that kind of stuff. I learn so, so much from them. And I don't know, maybe it's just the type of person that I am, but I just feel like there's more out there than you have to learn to see the world past the tip of your nose.
100%.
Learn people's other languages. Get to know the person. Yes, you may have different culture because obviously, like for example, me growing up here has definitely had an impact on the type of person that I am. I am proud to be Zambian British. Do you know what I mean? I'm proud of being both. I'm very proud of my people. Yeah. I wish things were better. We will make it better by force. It has to get better. I'm tired of that load shedding. Guys, I lost my mind. I was losing my brain. I'm literally thinking, I'm going to catch a flight back home. I want to go back home. But that's home.
Home is always home.
Home will always be home.
While we're doing this topic, please, if you got anything to say, please don't forget to leave a comment, like, share, and also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Cultures and Caves Pod.
So the quote that I have in front of me, so I am going to, you know, this quote is by Kwame Nkrumah. And it said, I'm not African because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. This is the whole concept of like, you can take the girl out of Africa, but you can't take the Africa out of the girl. We have to be proud of our roots. We have to be proud of the languages that we speak. I'm very proud of being a Bemba woman. I'm very proud of my roots. When I go back home, I'm speaking Bemba mostly. English out, Bemba in.
Bemba in.
Bemba in immediately.
Yeah, it's like me when I'm talking to my people from Zim. I don't speak English.
It's and the jokes are so much funnier. It's so lit. I can do a little ha-ha in English, but in Bemba.
English when I have to get paid. English only when I have to get paid.
Immediately. Of course. Listen, if the check is long, good morning. How are you today?
Okay, so my quote is from a guy called Marcus Garvey, who's also a pioneer when it comes to pan-Africanism. So he said, a people without knowledge of their past history origin and culture is like a tree without root. And I feel like this is very important, especially when we're doing this podcast. We are learning who we are. We're learning our past. We're learning our history. Yeah. And that's making us stronger. Because if we don't have that knowledge, we basically like a tree without roots. We're going to fall. We're going to take wrong directions. But fact that we exploring the identity of ourselves, the history, it is very important because it's making us stronger, making us more connected to our roots.
Yeah, I agree, because if you don't, it's like I said before, if you don't know who you are, people are going to come and tell you about who you are. Me today, Mlenga Chola, at 28, nobody can come and tell me about me. I know about me, but this is still learning as a person and still growing. I'm only 28. I know I'm almost 30. People go, oh my God, you're so old. Blah, blah. Hey, I'm still young and lit. Though my knees don't feel the same, but you know, I still know who I am as a person. I still know who I am as an African woman, because
that's very important.
This is the first thing that people notice. It's like, I think the reason why we may not have History Month back home is because we all look the same. We all look alike. Most people are black back home. Most people are African. But here, as soon as people come and see me, especially let's say other Africans, that's the first thing people are going to notice. Yeah. People are going to notice my skin tone, my skin color. Other Africans would ask me what African country I'm from and all that kind of stuff. So you have to know yourself, because then you can school people on your roots. You can school people on where you come from.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the best part about having people from different countries is you can attend their weddings, and they're so lit. Like, I would love to go to on my bucket list. I really want to go to a Nigerian wedding. I want to. Is it the gele? I don't know what it's called, but it looks so beautiful. They look so beautiful, and the outfits just look fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But this is from embracing other cultures.
Other culture, yeah. So just to close this episode, I think it's been very refreshing to know where we actually come from. And I hope the viewers will be able to connect to their roots, and hopefully they learn something from this episode. And if they got anything to say, and you've got some ideas on what you expect from us in the next episode, please don't forget to just leave a comment. Any suggestion will be really, really appreciated. And obviously, don't forget to follow us on our social media, Cultures and Caves Pod. And Mlenga, before we close this episode, I just want you to say something to our viewers in Bemba.
Mwevantu ngamuletamba, therefore mumfwe wino wino sana. People that are listening, I want you to listen to me really well. I don't even know what to say, but therefore mwishibe, fiance, ifile ikala kunganda. You have to know everything that's happening from home. My Bemba is not the greatest, so please don't judge me. But it just comes down to, we have to know our hearts. We have to know ourselves, because home is home. You have to know I wouldn't say everything, but you have to know most things. You know, like I said, my Bemba is not fluent. I did leave when I was young, but I still try my best to learn it. But Twalaisho wino bala tamba anyway. People are going to know, they're gonna watch. But I'm a Zambia's Vala Ishwa Finderanda, but they tamba fi but bala lenga finsha lelanda. Ah lelandi fi awufi. Wala ishiba mamule tamba na mwishwa findelanda. They'll figure that out themselves.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't even know what you said, but thank you. Also wanna say something in Ndebele. Ngiyajabula babukeli ukuthi libukelile i-video namhlanje, and maybe next time lizawanisa ukuthi lisinikeze into zokukhuluma, but bekukuhle, and ngiyajabula ukuthi namhlanje sibe noMlenga ukuthi azosincedisa. So sizolibona again ngenye episode. Thank you. We'll see you again next time.